Good morning. Today is Monday, January the 6th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief, Mr. Watson. Sir.
Good morning, sir.
And I know you're with the police today.
Last time I checked, my key still works.
There is no way to hide the fact you're with the police with the jacket or shirt or sweatshirt that you're wearing.
Well, that's a...
And what do they call... I guess hoodies have to have hoods, right?
You would think.
So this would be like a sweatshirt sort of kind of...
Yeah.
There's like six places that says police on it.
There's no mistake.
It's like he's
identity.
Questioning himself.
I'm in an identity crisis or
yeah,
something?
Apparently. Probably don't want to have that one end up in the secondhand store, huh?
No, yeah. They don't go to the thrift store when you're done.
Oh, that would be funny. It would be confusing, I know, but it would be funny for some of us in our warped senses. All right. Are you ready for Why Do We Say That?
I am not.
Now, you made the mistake of saying that you played tennis in college.
You misunderstood.
Uh-huh.
I played, I don't know what you would call it.
You banged the ball around on the court?
Recreationally.
Okay. Well, even somebody who's casual ought to know this. Why do we use the word love to mean nothing in tennis?
I actually have no idea.
I'm surprised.
I haven't had my coffee yet. That would have helped a little bit.
That's true. The term comes from the French word meaning egg. The French use it to designate no score or zero because an egg looks like a
zero.
Zero. When the game was imported into England from France, the term was also introduced, but its spelling was changed to L-O-V-E from the French word L-O-E-U-F. We sometimes call a zero a goose egg for that purpose.
And now I know.
Nothing is actually like surprising with that one, other than tennis came from France. But they have the French Open, so.
Perhaps if I spoke French and then knew what love stood for egg, I could have put it.
Well, you eat French toast, so you're halfway there.
And French fries.
Yeah, see? Now you're two-thirds of the way down the trail. French by association, right?
You know, I'm not sure French fries.
No, they don't. No,
originated, it's like, exactly.
It's like spaghetti. No. Oh. Well, are we having a series, a wave, an increase in goofy drivers?
I think it's more, just in a relatively short period of time, the last couple of months, we seem to have about four vehicles into houses. And over the weekend, we had one take out a power pole on Fairway Drive near the golf course, which took out the power for a while down there.
I heard that New Year's Eve was okay, but New Year's Day, you're smiling. We really do need to get a camera in here. New Year's Day was the goofy one over the weekend. Any commonality there, or just various things popping up?
You know, really. And again, I don't have the statistics in front of me that
you're a seasoned police professional.
But apart from the timing where we seem to have a cluster in a short period of time, if you look historically back through the decades, Eureka's always had some challenges with traffic, and these aren't unprecedented events.
No, it seems normal. Well, expected, not normal. Perhaps would be a better phrase to use.
You'd like to see zero DUI.
That would be
places,
love,
for instance.
You'd like to see love on the DUI. Okay. So we're going to try to inject this into your nomenclature here as much as we can.
I don't think it fits.
No? Yeah, love and DUI just don't go together.
No.
Huh?
Yeah, it doesn't have the connotation that we prefer.
So what is your guys' reporting period? July to June?
No, crime statistics, it's calendar year. We'll be able to have the data compiled for this past year here soon.
I'm just wondering, one of the news stories was talking about Chicago now. All their dispensaries are sold out. Big rush first 3 or 4 days. Okay, fine. Have you started to see under the influence more and more being defined as marijuana smokers being high? Is that starting to show at all after 2 years?
You know, that I think I mean, I suspect based on the statistics coming out of states that legalized before California, like Washington, Oregon, and California, or Colorado, excuse me. I think Colorado for sure was before California, where they have seen an increase in cannabis-related DUIs, or at least cannabis and another substance like alcohol mixed together. So I think California can expect to see the same. The difficulty again is there's no roadside testing devices at the moment for cannabis that are tested by the courts and science and in the hands of officers. There's prototypes that are being built, but we haven't arrived yet. So it makes it a lot more difficult to determine someone's level of sobriety with more certainty. You can give them field sobriety tests, which may indicate that they're impaired, but trying to make a case for being under the influence and driving under the influence with cannabis only and then prevail through the entire prosecution process is a challenge, again, because with alcohol, there's set standards. You know, you're automatically DUI if you're 08.
Yeah, there's
or
a
higher,
there's a
instance.
Line. Boom.
Right, and it's withstood decades of scrutiny. With cannabis, there isn't that number yet, and so you're going to rely heavily
there
on.
There will be.
I think someday, probably. It's difficult with the lack of research on cannabis right now, and. You have cannabis in all forms concentrated.
That's what I was thinking. Booze goes in pretty much one way.
Right.
Okay.
With cannabis, you can eat it, smoke it, vape it.
All the various ways in I would imagine it would be tougher to monitor that way because it isn't just breath. I mean, you're not going to be drawing blood on the side of the road, and that's probably not the wisest thing that somebody could come up with either. I would think that the testing ability is going to be
pretty
flexible.
Well, it's a huge market because it's a huge need, and I do know that there are some companies that are working on it. But when they're going to be ready for the field and, again, ready to withstand legal scrutiny, that's the question.
Yeah, that first guy in is going to be buying his own island somewhere if he wants to. not Woodley Island. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, the testing concept, I would think that it's got to be difficult. Testing for either sobriety or testing for speed limits or testing for anything. If there's not a standard or a measurement or a reference point, how do you do your job?
Well, certainly makes it more challenging, especially when it comes to cannabis at the moment. Because there is no question that cannabis can impair and impact fine motor skills in your judgment. And especially, with the higher concentrations that you see today with higher THC levels as well as the concentrates. And so, not necessarily the weed of the 60s anymore. And so
right, everything's evolved. Yeah.
Right. And then, if you throw in other substances, whether there's prescription meds or illegal drugs like methamphetamine or even alcohol, you can have a synergistic effect that amplifies the level of impairment as well. And so,
do most drug abusers, was it polysyllabic?
Poly drug use?
Yeah, I know there's a fancy name using the poly. I just totally spaced on it. Do most that you find under the influence, are there multiple influencers?
It's very common to have multiple substances on board. I don't have the raw data on that. It would be interesting to look at some of the blood tests, analyze locally the blood test results Have been collected, you know, historically for, let's say, the last 5 years from DUI cases to look at that.
But you got well over half?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know it's very common.
You haven't been on the street that long, or you've been in the city, in the chambers, way too much. You take your pick. You don't have to define it right now.
Well, certainly the last couple of years, much more time in the office than out on the street. But still got a lot of years on the street.
Gotcha. But now, speaking of rules, are there any new laws that are coming in? I know that there's always 58 pounds. Are there any that are significant ones that are going to change the way that the troops operate on a day in and day out basis?
Well, you know, one of the big ones, and this is less from an enforcement standpoint, but changes to use of force by law enforcement officers is a big one. In fact, we've been rolling training out to our officers on these changes that were effective January 1st as well.
I would presume, I think it's a pretty safe bet, that you're not able to get and use more tactics and more force?
No. But, you know, realistically, the final version of the bill or the law that was passed is something that we can live with. It's in line with the Supreme Court's standard that they set already. And it encompasses things that many agencies are already doing, including incorporating de-escalation tactics and training, you know, in there. So we'll be okay. What is more concerning is just the trend for people that know absolutely nothing about what it's like to put your life on the line, and the chaos and uncertainty that exists in real life out there, you know, and they've never experienced that in their life, and yet they're trying to make decisions on how we should do our job and what standards we should be held to, really without that context or that frame of reference.
Now, is that targeting the legislature who's drafting these, or is that the judges that are interpreting these?
Well, in some cases, you know, judges that may be, you know, well known for being soft, you know, on crime. But this is the legislators and, you know, in some cases, the governor that, you know, are introducing and lobbying for these bills.
So as you look into the new year, then pretty much it's codification of what EPD was already doing?
Yeah, I think that to cut right to it, no major surprises or changes to what we do with that particular change to the penal code.
One of the things that I would suspect is an issue for new folks and the existing folks is the back and forth along Broadway that you guys deal with. I mean, we heard, was it in December, somebody got hit with a car a couple times.
Yeah, there was a woman crossing the street that was killed.
A couple of yards or feet south of the crosswalk. That's what stuck in my mind. Now, I know others probably were looking at other aspects of that, but that's what kind of caught my mind. Is there any ability to get compliance?
It's, you know, it's a traffic infraction, but there's vehicle code section for pedestrians in the roadway, so they could be ticketed.
Well, and you see folks along Broadway all the time, either the bicycle folks or the walking folks or walking pushing carts or whatever they have. I mean, just as there's no or a limited lack of recognition of other elements of our community, they just kind of seem to do whatever they want to do, wherever they want to do. I mean, to arrest somebody for pushing a shopping cart outside the crosswalk, I would not think in today's realities is going to result in any jail time. So how do you get behavior change so that everybody is safer?
Well, that's the crux of the problem in many ways, is exactly that fear of a lack of consequences or a lack of consequences, and so a lack of fear for enforcement in everything from personal drug use to shoplifting to these minor infractions. At the same time, you know, we're under-resourced and, you know, extremely busy, and you have to triage your time and your efforts. And so what does the public, what does the community expect from us? And where do they want us to spend those precious, you know, coins that we have? There's only so many we have in a given day. So
just
where do we want to focus our efforts?
Time in this segment. It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with police Steve Watson. Actually, it says police where your name's supposed to be, too.
You're really fixated on my
I'm intimidated.
Today.
I'm not fixated. I'm intimidated. Yeah, the whole, well, and it's not even black and white. It's black and yellow. So I guess maybe I can relax a little bit, huh? You look like an old California license plate.
Classic.
Yes, a classic. Yes. Steve Watson is with us. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, one of the challenges, I think, with dealing with any element of crime is community comfort. Pick the topic, doesn't matter. If it's speeding, okay, what level does the community feel comfortable? What level does the neighborhood feel comfortable? Are stop signs suggestions, or are they the law? Okay, fine. You know, and you can kind of apply that across the board to a bunch of areas. You guys are going to be starting to take up an enhancement of an existing ordinance?
That's going to...
Or is it a new ordinance?
It's going to completely replace the previous or the current ordinance with a new ordinance that complies with some case rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court out of 2015.
Regarding...
Just the regulating of the content of speech, essentially.
You mean I can't say what I normally say now?
Yeah, that's why I'm wearing this sweater. We're shutting you down,
Ryan. Oh, gosh. You know, and it's interesting how speech has been interpreted over the years, too. Or reinterpreted, I guess, might be a better way. Most folks, okay, it's back and forth. Okay. Now, if there's a microphone, okay, now there's a different standard because it's being done publicly. But now protesting has become defined that way. I guess talking to yourself, walking down the street, is now considered freedom of speech also. What is the current standard? What qualifies as speech?
Well, that's the question, and the courts continue to change their mind on exactly how to interpret that question. And so all we can do is once it becomes a law of the land, you have to adapt and you have to adjust to make sure that you comply with their interpretation of the Constitution. So in this particular case, when it has to do with our ordinance regarding solicitation and or aggressive and intrusive solicitation.
Of?
Or panhandling might be another way to put that.
Okay, when you say solicitation in... Eureka, you know, go historical, yeah. And it has a little different connotation.
No, we're not talking about the glory days, as some would say, of Old Town.
Okay.
We're talking about essentially panhandling. But, when attorneys write things, they like to use words like solicitation instead.
So panhandling, I think there's recognition that there's aggressive, there's passive. There's those that go on private property that are allowed, those that go on private property and they're not allowed. I mean, there's we're kind of getting into a lot of those more narrowly defined elements of it.
The key thing with the Supreme Court's ruling in 2015 is basically they said that if a municipality regulated the content of speech because of the topic discussed or the message expressed, that would be subject to a much higher degree or a stricter degree of scrutiny. And so that... if you look at what's the content of their speech, well, they're asking for alms, they're asking for money. And so really with the subsequent case law that's followed that ruling, cities have had to make some changes to their panhandling ordinances. So in this case, after staff got together in the city attorney's office, reviewed our current ordinance and the case law, substantially the recommendation was to just repeal the old ordinance because it has so many different areas now that are problematic under the law, and introduce a new ordinance because we still recognize we have a need to control certain kinds of behavior. And so it's titled not too differently, but aggressive and obstructive conduct. And it applies to anyone, not just someone panhandling. Certainly isn't designed to apply only to the homeless, for instance, but it does address some of the more serious concerns that speak to what you mentioned earlier, and that is the sense of safety and peace in our community. And the fact is that the perception of these things is just as powerful as the reality. Often there's a perception when someone sees a dirty, disheveled person with a shopping cart on the corner, they automatically feel unsafe or feel that their, you know, crime and disorder is proliferating in the community, sometimes even to a greater degree than it really is.
Yeah, a higher likelihood, and then the associated, yeah. So does this eliminate, or does it just give more clarity and guidance for you and for the community members?
Well, again, you just have to remove panhandling from your mind when it comes to this and focus on the behavior.
No cardboard signs,
individual.
Just a person.
Right. And so are they engaged in what's defined as aggressive conduct, for instance? And that could be using profane or offensive language at you to intimidate you, touching you, continuing to follow you, or block your way. Can you follow you when you ask them to stop and they don't? There's a whole
stalking
list defined in the ordinance.
I mean, how's that freedom of speech if somebody's decided that they're going to follow you? I'm not hearing anything. I'm being stalked, right?
Well, stalking is a whole separate section in the penal code that has other elements of the crime that go with that.
More than just
yeah,
following.
And some of these behaviors that are listed and prohibited in the proposed ordinance that council will consider, there's other areas in the vehicle code, penal code, and other sections that also apply. But it's helpful to have all this kind of conduct in one place if officers do get a complaint that's valid because someone is acting in an aggressive way or intentionally obstructing vehicles, bicycles, things like that by their behavior. They may be panhandling at the time, they may not be, but it gives us options because, again, that speaks to a person's sense of safety.
So this kind of goes back a little bit to the Broadway discussion we had earlier.
Yeah, and kind of some of the elements of the aggressive portion of the previous ordinance.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. So, Steve, you were indicating that this ordinance is going to be reviewed or discussed, or is this the first reading this
it's
evening?
It's the first reading, I believe, so council will consider it, and they'll start the process with ultimately a public hearing.
So first, second, then public, then the formalization? Is that kind of the step process on this?
Oh, now you're asking me exactly the process of a bill.
Well, I'm just wondering if folks want to
it's
comment.
It's not one and done tonight. But,
right.
Tonight, is. I'm sure we'll afford an opportunity.
No, that would be the Eagles fans.
Yeah. There were some pretty wild games this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. But there'll be opportunities for folks either to become familiar with this. Is there...
Yeah, I mean, you can read it at the city's website, so it's not meant to be a secret at all. I mean, the public needs to weigh in as well. I know that there is a fair degree of frustration because we get a lot of calls about panhandling, and not necessarily just aggressive type of panhandling, just someone flying a sign at an intersection. And, the fact is, unless they are obstructing the right-of-way or violating one of these associated laws, or if this new ordinance passes, some of the obstructive or aggressive behavior that's listed, you know, they're going to be able to do that. Now, it doesn't mean that they can walk out in the street and stop cars. Doesn't mean that they can place items all the way across the sidewalk, so you can't use that. There may be recourses for private property owners for certain behavior on their property. But in, at least in terms of public locations.
It just kind of contemporizes.
Right. So,
it, yeah.
So people need to get used to, I mean, that's just the state of the law. Now, what people can do and should do is rather than giving directly to these individuals while they're panhandling, because the research has shown that a great amount of the funds that are donated to panhandlers go directly to drug and alcohol abuse, not to the food or other living needs, which is unfortunate. So instead, donate to local organizations that do a lot to help the mentally ill and the addicted and the homeless, like the Betty Kwan Chan Foundation, the Eureka Rescue Mission, St. Vincent de Paul, and the list goes on and on. Give your money there where they can actually do good for these people. You know, they're providing shelter, they're providing meals.
The basics.
Right.
Yeah. Is there a document that will show a comparison contrast existing ordinance and what this ordinance does? That, so you can not look at what it is, but you can look at what the changes are.
Yes, you'll be able to compare the two bills. You can look at the text of the new one, look at the text of the old one.
But there's not like a summary sheet somewhere that goes, the language has changed here, and here's how it's changed.
Apart from what's been prepared for council by the city attorney's office, I don't know if they created another document. So I know the...
It's kind of easier for folks to figure out what's going on that way, right, rather than wading through. Now, this particular one doesn't look like it's really lengthy.
No, it's probably shorter than the previous one because, again, it's focusing in on the aggressive and obstructive conduct and defines what that is, defines some locations. To me, it's pretty clearly worded and written and easy to understand. Maybe not so easy to consistently apply at times because there can be a lot of gray areas. But again, I didn't want, just because the law changed, for the city to lose all ability to regulate conduct. And so I think it was important to have something, you know, in place that would address some of the most concerning behaviors that have in the past frequently been associated with overly aggressive panhandlers or those that would literally take over a corner. So you're watching people have to walk completely around them to get from
to avoid,
point A to point yeah. B, right?
Is there state law about this kind of stuff? You would think that a city wouldn't have to incur the cost of having individual ordinances, but that it's something would be just codified statewide or nationally and said, here's how the game gets played, guys, and it's uniformly enforced.
There's laws that not specific to this one area, but I mean, they're found sprinkled all over the various thick legal books and codes that we have. So there's laws against disturbing the peace. There's laws against assault and battery, against you know, pedestrian in the roadway, and the list goes on. But this, again, narrows it down and gives us local options as well.
Tonight at 6?
Well, it's not going to probably start exactly at
6. All right.
The council meeting starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock hour. There we go. Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.